I have a name for my pain, and it is Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Oh, yeah. Not so much.
Which is literally, nobody cares.
No.
No, period. You're right. Absolutely. I wasn't done, but you're right. Nobody cares that they sing Chippendale Rescue Rangers. Why is it Chippendale Rescue Rangers?
Great question.
Aren't they the Rescue Rangers of Chippendale?
They're...
Isn't it Chippendale's Rescue Rangers? No, I know that's not what they sing. But guess what? Are there race cars, lasers, or aeroplanes in DuckTales? I don't think so. But we hear that life is like a hurricane in Duckburg, don't we?
Yes, we do.
So now that everything has to be super literal.
No.
Okay.
Well, and then in Chippendale Rescue Rangers, there's two other characters.
But in the new movie, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're in the movie.
I doubt it.
But in the movie, the new movie, the new terrible movie, they specifically make sure that it's titled Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
They could have just called it Chippendale.
That direct-to-video movie that they made.
I know.
So brave.
To Disney+.
That has a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes because criticism just doesn't exist.
They're like, it's for kids, so we're not going to be as critical of it, which is lame because I got to tell you, I remember Siskel and Ebert being pretty critical of a lot of Disney films.
I got to tell you, well, yeah, look, I'm not saying the criticism was alive previously. It's just, it's dead. It's really dead now.
Yeah, it is.
It's dead and we've got it selling popcorn in a commercial. Mm-hmm. There's an old reference for you.
Yeah.
And the big thing of this is that, look, Chippendale Rescue Rangers didn't invent, like, you know, making a movie that is basically just like an IP smorgasbord.
Yes.
Correct. You know, I'm sure that existed before Roger Rabbit did. But mm-hmm. Roger Rabbit is the real touchstone for this film, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Roger Rabbit was, Roger Rabbit was about something.
Yes, it was.
And it was about something that wasn't necessarily, like, great. It had a note of melancholy. The whole mm-hmm. plot of it is they want to knock down Toontown because progress wants to get rid of these old black and white cartoon characters and singing flowers that aren't a big deal anymore, right?
Right.
Things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to put a highway through there, and we want the judge who, this municipal judge has a lot of power, who also basically runs the police, wants to get rid of the streetcars and make a freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And also, are there any laws about like him owning a controlling stake in Cloverleaf
really
Industries?
Yeah.
There should be.
Yeah.
So it's all about corruption. Now, the funny thing, the irony is, he's absolutely right. I'm not saying it's good that it takes you 90 minutes to get, you know, into the valley or whatever, but like that, he was right. Like that is the future.
Mm-hmm.
But our characters don't know that, and it doesn't matter to them because they're fighting for what they have right now.
Yes.
And it's also a lost cause. Eddie Valiant, his last name is Valiant. It is a knight-like name. Mm-hmm. He is fighting this lost cause to save these characters that need his help right now.
Yes.
That's what it's about. Also, Daffy Duck and Donald Duck do a piano duet where they try to murder each other.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers is not about anything. It's just that Chip and Dale, one of them, I don't know which one does, whoever the CGI one is, has like a booth at a Comic-Con. Now you can go to Comic-Con and it isn't like Claudia Christian is there and she's, you know, played the lady in Babylon 5. Mm-hmm. No, the lady from Babylon 5 is real. Only she's a cartoon character. Use it for a cartoon character. So like Ugly Sonic. Ha ha. Right.
So hilarious.
So funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugly Sonic is there.
Yes.
And like, what do you know about Ugly Sonic?
Nothing. They changed him because
he's
like,
horrific.
Yeah.
And we can get
he's
into
terrifying.
The specifics.
He's got human teeth.
Okay, there you go. Well, you know that because you saw it. But you wouldn't have thought about that unless you watched the trailer for Chippendale Rescue
Rangers.
Yeah, he looks weird.
Yeah.
The really important thing is that, for good or bad, he was changed by the internet. Now, if only they'd showed this movie to the internet before it came out.
And
that's the real irony,
said,
isn't it? But
his.
The Lonely Island guys, who have been lazy since, I don't know, A Turtleneck and Chains, okay. Maybe since their third album, or maybe the thing they did with Michael Bolton, I don't know. just went like, teeth. Oh, his teeth are so weird. Okay, 20 minutes on the teeth.
Right.
And we'll just
riff.
Yeah,
we'll just
riff
it. Yeah, the entire movie, we'll just riff.
Now, I'm not saying that like Chip and Dale like deserve more than that, but it's just not...
It's not creative.
And these are supposed to be like funny people. These are like our premier comedians, especially John Mulaney, a guy who platforms homophobes and transphobes.
Yeah, what's up with that, John Mulaney? Not cool.
No, I also love how you can't bring your phone to a comedy show anymore. And I'm like, real brave.
You can't bring your phone? Like, they'll, like, take it
from
you? No,
it makes sense that you can't do it. Like, nobody has any footage. There's, like, some grainy footage from when Dave Chappelle was attacked. Let's look into that. Do we get the suspect's name?
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Right.
That seems like a good place to stage something.
Yeah.
On a stage.
Yes.
When he was attacked, nobody had any footage of it because he made everybody put their phones in his bag. You know why? Because he was going to tell a lot of trans jokes. So brave. You're so brave. Well, apparently, also at a John Mulaney show, you can't have your phone.
That's so weird.
Yeah. When he brought Dave Chappelle out to open for him or whatever, nobody got any footage of the trans jokes that he told there. So it's like, wow, speaking of Valiant, these guys, amazing.
It's frustrating.
So anyway, we will not have a review of Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers this week. And it's also Chip and Dale's, I guess.
I think it's Dale who's the CGI one, because I think Chip has the one that has the brown nose.
I don't really care.
I know.
Also, why are we even talking about it? But are they supposed to be playing roles? Because, like, Dale is dumb and Chip is intrepid and sometimes a little thick.
Yeah.
But now their characters are just John Mulaney and Andy Samberg.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, neat. Okay, just checking.
Yeah, last time I checked, like, and it doesn't have anything to do with Rescue
Sausage
Rangers.
Party has a lot of problems, but at least they made some big swings, like, in terms of the characterizations of the food.
I mean,
get it? He's a Knish, so he's Jewish.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm not saying it's great. Wow. I'm just saying, you know, some effort was put into this.
Very little, but
yeah,
some.
No, very tiny, tiny amount.
Yeah, but
More than the Lonely Island.
Yeah, this is disappointing. Yeah. Because I really liked Rescue Rangers growing up, and I would have been excited to see this movie if it didn't see the trailer and just go like, "What did I just watch?"
Insofar as it was written, the movie was written by the writing duo that wrote Doolittle.
Right.
Doolittle.
Which I did not see. And I was also disappointed that.
And I don't know which seasons. I'm not going to look it up. But a lot of How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
Which, I know that people have affection for things. But
yes.
Like, I've only ever watched that 90 seconds at a time. Because I watch 89 seconds and go, this is garbage. Why would anybody want to watch this?
It's a scripted sitcom, which I don't know if it has laugh tracks.
A script?
Maybe not.
A script is Barney going catchphrase and then something Canadian about being from Canada.
Yes.
Something about being from Minnesota.
Yes.
I've seen it more than I think. Allison Hannigan says something that's a little weird and off kilter. And then Barney says something sexist and, you know, that he'd get him thrown out of a Dave Chappelle show.
I never really got into it, but I know people who really like it. So, yeah, there's that.
We're not going to have a review of that. But they are doing a remake of Rookie of the Year.
Oh, I have fond
memories of
that.
And one of them is
going to
direct it.
Oh, no. Okay.
So, it just... Nope,
why
there
did
is
we
no
do
one,
that movie?
There is no one at the controls. Speaking of which, I saw a great thing the other day.
Yeah.
For all you leftist joke lovers out there,
Of
you... there was the trolley problem, and it's like, here's the trolley problem. There is no trolley because the corporations had the trolleys dismantled to force us into highways, cities, you know, that we have to take highways, car-dependent communities.
Yes. Okay. Well, I mean, that...
So that ties back into the Roger Rabbit.
Yeah,
thing.
It does.
All right. And it always comes full circle.
Yes.
At the Just Enough Trope podcast. I'm your host, Caliban, joined as always by my co-host.
Hi, I'm Ikan Hanna.
Got to change our tagline to leftism and... Looney Tunes. There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
And getting right to the downtown for the show. And, but no more talk about the meta Rangers. Instead, we're going to talk about something that is so meta, it's positively antique.
Uh-oh.
And that is
the
most recent release of Downton Abbey. We can't call it Downton Abbey 2.
No.
A New Era.
Yeah, right. I'm looking forward to talking about it. I guess I won't get into it right now because why would I do that?
How could it, the most meta it could get would be to say, if they were filming a movie at Downton while we're watching the Downton movie.
Stop.
Oh, crap. It is meta.
It is meta.
All right. Well,
you
we'll
brought
save
it up.
Our comments about it. For later. Yeah, I didn't think that I could be shocked by anything once I saw Cousin It rapping.
And also saying, oh, I'm Snoop Dogg. And it's like, wait, what? I thought you were Cousin It. I'm very confused now.
See, that was somebody was asleep at the wheel.
Yes.
Chip and Dale, nobody at the wheel. They even see
it. Yeah, it's just a Johnny cab, you know, or I don't know. That might be giving it too much credit.
Yeah. Everybody's fired. Robert Picardo is going to come in and do 50 different characters.
Oh, why doesn't he
do, you know, now that Patrick Stewart hopefully is going to stop doing everything and just hang out with his hot wife and his million dogs.
Yeah. Smoke some weed.
Yeah. Get blazed and put on the lobster costume.
Yeah. Right.
And have a good time.
Yeah.
Hand the one-man Christmas Carol off to Picardo. Picardo could do that in his sleep.
Oh, he could totally do that. Yeah.
And he could probably do a Jerry Orbach impression. Because Lumiere, the candelabra, is in the Chip and Dale movie. There's nobody to do the voice.
Yeah, it's an odd choice. Have it make
sense who your picks are.
Yeah, don't just say, whoever.
Cast Ugly Sonic, who, yes, has human teeth, but is also defined by going, meow. And you're not going to get... John Ralphio, he's not going to cross the line to do the voice.
No.
So what'd you do for the voice? It's just, you know, Andy Samberg or the other one.
Yeah, John Mulaney.
No, I think Akiva directed it, so it's Yorma, right?
Okay.
So
he's just like,
hey, everybody, I'm Ugly Sonic. Yeah. I'll get some t-shirts. Hilarious.
Right. So funny. Yeah.
No, you'd know if it was John Mulaney. Because it would sound like everything he's ever done.
No, you're right.
Yeah. Very talented.
He's not really an actor. Very talented
voice actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, ain't nothing going on but a party, Snoop Dogg. Let's talk about the news. Did you know that a film that we have not talked about yet?
Yes.
But when we do one of these, say hi to your mother for me. I can't remember what we called the segment. Where we go back and watch movies that we should have watched before.
Yes. I like what you just said.
Your box office for me.
Okay.
It'll be Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes.
Still in theaters.
Yes. We haven't. I just realized the other day that it was already out and we haven't watched it yet. And I can't remember like what was going on that week that it came out.
Something. I don't know.
Something. And so, yeah, we definitely, I definitely still want to see it and right, talk well, about
here's
it.
Here's the story.
Okay.
Anyway, it's been out for, I think, almost 9 weeks now.
Oh, wow.
And it has made over $50 million.
Okay.
Which has set a record for an A24 release. Now, really? I'm not that impressed. We all know that A24 movies are not real independent movies.
Oh.
They have, you know.
They're A24 movies. Yeah.
They have full studio backing, but they are the kind of ideas that aren't going to get done, you know, in a mainstream film. And mainstream film is, as you and I both know, is going to be the singing of the crawdads.
Stop it.
It's plenty of money behind A24, but that's impressive. No other A24 movie has made that much money. Not even Spring Breakers.
God. Okay, I didn't realize that was an A24 film.
And so I think that is a testament to a lot of things, because when you think about it, who's this director? Nobody knows. Right.
Well, I think Michelle Yeoh has a lot of pull, probably more than maybe people give her credit for.
Oh, I'm sorry. Two people directed it.
Oh, okay. I don't know who it is.
The Daniels. Oh, that's right.
Brothers?
Oh,
man.
We shall never be free of them.
Uh-oh.
They did the Turn Down for What video.
The,
Beep, 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 beep. I can't do it. I'm cursed.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm blessed with perfect pitch. I'm cursed with a rapidly deteriorating voice.
Well,
so I know the tone I need to hit, but I won't take it down an octave. I won't. But I will say, Turn Down for What? And it's two guys named Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert.
Oh, okay. So they're not related. They're just Daniel.
What food items they would be in Sausage Party?
No, not doing that. That no. That is something that Michael from The Office would do, and I'm not going to do that.
Well, he would turn it into an extent. Well, the writers would turn it into an 8-minute long bit. Yeah. We would just do something that would be very accurate and possibly distasteful. Not incredibly, but possibly distasteful to some people. Anyway, they have worked on a lot of stuff. Now, I have not been paying attention to their stuff. They did Swiss Army Man.
Which I don't know that.
It's Paul Dano is Which one's dead?
What?
Paul Dano's alive. Daniel Radcliffe is dead. Paul Dano is in a plane crash or something, and he's got Daniel Radcliffe, and Daniel Radcliffe is dead, and he uses his body, you know, to do all these different things, like turns him into a raft, and he does all kinds of things with him.
Oh, weird.
It's absurdist.
Okay.
Really, it's like, you know, you can see the Farrelly brother. It's like a, you know, scraping the ceiling, no scraping the ceiling. Gross out movie, but.
Oh, great.
Stop talking so I can finish this, please. They also produced Awkwafina is Nora from Queens.
All right.
Kwan worked on Legion.
Okay. I love Legion.
And Shiner worked on Becoming a God in Central Florida.
So they kind of
split
that.
Up for that, but now they're back and they're working on an adaptation of Cat's Cradle.
What's Cat's Cradle?
Vonnegut.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with the story, though. Oh, it's Noah Hawley.
Stop talking. It. Remember that quote from Mark Twain?
Which one?
I'm not going to get it right, but it was essentially better to have everybody think that you're a fool than open your mouth and prove them right. And you go like, Mark Twain, that's a smart guy. No. The original smart guy beat you to it. Jesus said that 2,000 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Steal from the best. Hey, Mr. Atheist.
Whoa.
Checkmate.
Do we know
Give me a frog.
Oh, my God.
Give me a frog.
Oh, my God. Do we know that he really said it or did somebody misappropriate it to him?
Because no, he said a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. All right. Here, if you want to know where the money went, it was also produced by Joe and Anthony Russo. So.
Oh, really?
Yes, and their producing partner,
the Russo brothers,
Mike LaRocca. And between them, they've produced The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Spy, Extraction, that Tom Holland movie, Cherry. So starting to head down.
Oh, no.
I was just a normal guy, but I robbed banks. I robbed banks.
Yeah, it's not great.
I was in the army.
Say hi to your mother for me.
You know, it wasn't a big deal until we got them together on screen, and it's like, oh, that's what you're doing. I think he's been doing a Mark Wahlberg this whole time.
Really?
Not in The Devil All the Time. He's, you know, doing a little Southern. Maybe he's got a Southern friend. But, but I always felt like he's like, you know, if the bad things happen, you don't do anything, then it's like,
that's
because of you.
But that's like weird because like in the Uncharted film, they're not related to each other. So that's weird.
You got to model yourself after somebody.
Oh my God. No, don't do it, Tom. Don't do it.
That's what Woody Allen said, right?
When he's accused of
playing God, he says, well, I have to model myself after someone.
Okay. He's a funny guy.
I have a lot of white humorous quotes.
Yes.
You challenge me. And I will win. So anyway, congratulations to Michelle Yeoh.
Yes.
And also to James Hong.
And, that's the real success story. Yeah. Yes, James Hong.
That's why it's doing well.
You're absolutely right.
Or maybe Jenny Slate, perhaps.
Yes, maybe Jenny Slate. I don't know.
Do you want to talk about SNL at all?
Sure. I don't know the story, but go ahead.
You know the story.
Do I?
So they're... May, right? Late May. Mm-hmm. I think they're at or near their last show.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Pete Davidson is quitting. And,
I did see that.
The other one is finally quitting.
Who is the other one?
You know her. I can't remember her name. She's a Ghostbuster.
I know. She holds
no real estate in my mind.
I know. I can't remember her name either, and I feel terrible.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that kind of just goes about right.
Let's talk about Stranger Things.
Yes.
The fact that the first 7 episodes of Stranger Things Season 4 will be called Volume 1.
Oh. Okay.
And there will be a Volume 2. Volume 1 will be released on May 27th. Volume 2 on July 1st.
And how much is in Volume 2?
They will not be releasing them weekly.
Yeah.
But they will. There will be a split. Between them.
They're trying to, because I
also, these kids are ugly now.
They're ugly
now? Here's your problem.
Whoa, I don't think that they're ugly now.
Going
through a period of awkwardness?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're going into a bad fashion period.
Okay.
Let's say.
All right.
But they are, not great.
Not looking cute.
Even Finn Wolfhard Did not. In fact, the Cokehead kid probably cool looks name. The best. Finn I mean, he was already an adult when the show started.
Oh,
no well, bone growth, but oh boy.
Eleven's still cute. She's still cute as a button, I think. No,
but also,
you don't think so?
She's a woman. She doesn't.
Yeah, she is a woman. Cute. You're right. She doesn't want to be cute as a button.
I also like the fact that this article I'm reading has a video. This is Gizmodo, and apparently they interviewed him or are playing an interview, and the subject of the interview is Chris Pratt on career transition. Oh, you mean going from being a blockbuster star to being in Amazon films that you're apparently locked into by contract?
Wow. Yeah, that's...
Paid for by Black Rifle Coffee?
Yeah. I'm not going to get excited about that.
Career dissolution.
Yeah.
I'm hot today.
You are hot today.
And nobody's safe from me.
God, I was going to say something...
Was it about Kate McKinnon?
No, that's her name though. But Stranger Things. So like, is it going to be 10 episodes total? Is it going to be like part one is 7 and part two is 3? Or is it going to be more than 10? Okay, I remember what else I was going to ask or going to say.
Just 9 episodes.
It's just 9 episodes? Yeah. Then why is this the second part? Just
I don't know.
Two?
And nobody likes it. Everybody thinks it's a dumb idea.
Well, you can split it up. That's fine. But why two? Why hold back two? Anyways, they're doing this because they're trying to get people to stay with Netflix longer.
Possibly. It's that's also because, you know, with every check that is already cleared, you can't cancel, right?
Sure.
And so
yes.
Netflix has been cutting the fat. Left and right.
Yeah.
But they've already signed off on all the money here for whatever the Duffer Brothers have, whatever they're going to steal from and pastiche and homage and possibly harass on their sets. But episodes 7, 8, and 9 are all going to be 90 minutes long.
Oh, okay.
And the finale is supposedly 2.5 hours. This is Netflix.
Why?
Gee, I wonder why. You're out of money.
Well, that's all. That's very bloated. And
yes. What if we spent a lot of money on a show nobody wants to watch? Where are all the subscribers? Where are they going? Where are they all going? You know what?
Some
they're
like
sharing.
It.
They're sharing passwords.
That's
what
it is. Yeah, we gotta watch out for that. There's so much of that. Oh my goodness. Somebody's excited about Stranger Things, right? I guess I'm asking.
I guess
so.
We're gonna test that.
Yeah.
Do you like watching cute kids ride bikes? Because that's not the show anymore.
They did
ride their bikes to the Circle K to get condoms. Probably.
Oh God, that's too much. I don't. I'm not excited about the idea of that. I know they're getting
is
older.
18.
Okay. That's enough.
Well, let's talk about. Let's bring it down. Let's cut through that joyous, ebullient noise with a sour note.
Uh-oh.
And that note is synthesized. Vangelis, Oscar-winning composer Vangelis, has passed away.
Oh.
At the age of 79.
Okay. Tell me more about who this is.
Imagine Tame Impala goes through a time portal.
Okay.
And is born 40 years earlier.
Okay, sure. Okay, so they're like Tame Impala. Oh, I know this. Yes. Okay.
Yes, he's the synthesizer man with a synthesizer plan.
Okay.
French guy. He did the music for, of course, Chariots of Fire, Cosmos. Very famously, he did it for Blade Runner. What am I thinking of that I always think is Vangelis, but it was Tangerine Dream, which would be like if the Yin-Yang Twins went, no, that's not true.
I feel like I know what you're talking about, but I can't quite place it because I feel like we've talked about this before at some point and you're
That'd
like, oh, no,
show.
That's Tangerine Dream.
Vangelis or Tangerine Dream?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Oh,
I wish
I had that all queued up. I wish I had thought of that before this.
I would get them all wrong. So there you go.
I think by just guessing, there's no way you can get them all wrong. Right?
I guess. I said I guess.
Okay, there is a music forum with a post entitled Vangelis or Tangerine Dream.
There you go.
I think they're just saying, who do you prefer? Okay, it's a poll.
Oh.
And this is 2020. So no one has yet invented the Vangelis versus or Tangerine Dream
Well,
game.
You heard it here
first. So we got to cut this out.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly, this is a moneymaker.
Now there is, okay, the peer group is a Berlin school electronic rock outfit that in 2015 created a mashup album.
Okay.
Called the peer, no, they are the peer group. I don't think it's just Vangelis versus Tangerine Dream. And they, so they have mashed up
their songs.
They are Belgian. Oh, for, okay. Huh. They're Belgian musicians of the Berlin school.
That is very specific. Okay. So they're a group of students who are from Belgium, but go to the Berlin school.
The hero will be missed. Yeah. What else is going on? I know you heard the good news that Daredevil will continue.
I'm so excited.
Daredevil will be continuing on Disney Plus.
Yes.
And for what it's worth, they say that they will be basically making a continuation here. It will include the events of his own series.
Yeah. So on Netflix. I'm excited about that. We are acknowledging it and moving things forward. I was a little surprised that that's how they just were going to decide to move it forward. But I guess Daredevil was a series before. So that makes sense. And it was, I think, the most successful of the ones that was on Netflix and the ones that people were the most excited about. So it'll be interesting to see if they bring everybody back who was on the show previously. I mean, obviously, Charlie Cox, who plays Matt Murdock, and Vincent D'Onofrio, who plays Kingpin, will be back. But
Don't spare any cash for any good writers, though. Okay? Don't do that.
Why?
So writing and producing will be Matt Corman and Chris Ord, the writing team behind 1996's Deck the Halls.
Oh, no.
Deck the Halls.
I don't even know what this is because
you said 2006. I don't want to get that wrong.
Okay.
Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito have a competition to see who can have the biggest lights on their house.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's a movie that I think probably more than one movie has been like this. But Danny DeVito was like, I don't remember anything from that. I was drunk the entire time.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing, Mr. DeVito. Yeah.
Matthew Broderick, who... I seem to remember like a on the set story of him just being like dead inside, you know, like he's just literally just doing, I mean, he doesn't do much anymore.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, he does stage.
And if your co-star is drunk all the time, you're not going to be super excited about it, you know?
Maybe I got to watch this. I think the reason they got the job is they have maybe a little more cred in the fact that they are the creators and producers, story editors for Covert Affairs, a show that I don't think anybody's watched.
I have no idea what this is.
But it stars Piper Perabo as a CIA operative on the USA Network.
God, USA Network.
Are there no TV geniuses anymore?
I don't know if there are.
I mean, beyond, you know, people who are not going to they'd have to get a pay. They ask for too much. Marvel's not going to pay the Chuck Lorre's of the world. Myself in the middle of Chuck Lorre because I'm like, what would he do? Squirrel Girl or something like that. You know? You know, Norman Lear. I'd love a Norman Lear Marvel superhero sitcom. That'd be so amazing. Give him the White Tiger.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Like if he wants to continue, you know, creating roles for Latin American, for Latino American actors and writers.
Yeah.
Take one of three heroes that exists in the Marvel universe of Latin.
This is it's sad. There should be more characters.
But Disney's not going to pay Ronald D. Moore money. They're not going to pay.
That's what I was thinking of. I was like, I couldn't think of his name for some reason.
They didn't even pay Noah Hawley money. Fox paid Noah Hawley money. And then it became academic when the show went off the air before Disney had to decide what to do with it.
I know.
So anyway, where do they get these losers from?
I don't know. Noah Hawley should do it. Although I don't know if he'd want to do it because it's kind of it's not exactly a procedural, but it's kind of a procedural, you know? I mean,
Daredevil?
Yeah.
We're still talking about Daredevil.
Yeah. Do you think they'll change like the format of the show at all or something like that? Or try to, you know, rejigger it?
Shorter.
Uh-huh.
and it'll just be like, you know, Loki or like Moon Knight. It'll just be a 6-hour movie.
Yeah. You know? Right. I'm okay with that. So.
It's fine, I guess.
You are not excited about this.
Here's the deal. I don't want to be that guy who does that thing. There's too many of us on the internet already. But I've been watching this Star Trek Strange New Worlds show.
Yeah.
And it's not the best Star Trek show I've ever seen. But it's the first show that I've watched. The first new show that I've watched in like 10 years. Where it like goes, well, what's going on? It starts, oh, I don't know what this is. We figured it out. It's over.
I know.
That's it.
I know.
Yeah. I didn't know that was old-fashioned.
Apparently it is.
That's not how they make TV anymore since Supernatural went off the air.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't even know what that was like in its last, you know, 8 years.
Yeah, who even knows? I know.
They don't do that anymore. Well, they do that all the time, you know, if you're watching CBS, you know, there's somebody's murdered or raped and then they figure it out and they put them away. But I'm just saying like in normal, like for some semi-young people genre TV, nothing is made that way anymore. Mm-mm. And like, I'm starting to get back in. Yeah, I like it.
I like it too. You know, I like the other way too, if it's done well, but it's kind of nice that it's all contained.
Well, you know whose fault it is?
Who?
Netflix.
Okay. I blame them.
And a recent survey from The Information, gotta trust them, has said that Netflix is continuing to lose not only subscribers, but long-term subscribers.
Okay.
They gathered data from 5 million Americans.
Okay.
And it showed that cancellations hit 3.6 million people last quarter. There was 2.5 million in the last quarter.
Yeah, I can.
Or no, excuse me. Over the past 5 quarters combined? Whoa.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah, that is a big hole in the boat. In the second quarter of 2021, the people that they surveyed who subscribed to the platform for less than 1 year made up 70% of the cancellations. And long-term subscribers were 6%.
Oh, okay.
60% of cancellations were made by the newer subscribers last quarter. So that number is falling. The number of long-term subscribers who are canceling is going up.
Is rising. Okay. Okay. I think people are getting sick of Netflix for a multitude of different reasons. Maybe they're like, oh, they canceled a show that like I was looking forward to.
Maybe it's because Ted Sarandos said that he wasn't going to take down...
I mean... I wanted to say that too. The transphobic
content on his platform because it's free speech. And then he told employees ahead of any protests or anything.
Yeah.
If you think, you know, if you're going to be shaken by something like this, you know, maybe this isn't the job for you. It's like,
bye.
Right, well, it certainly isn't the streaming service for me. I know that.
You know what I would say? I would just say goodbye. You know, I mean, I know.
Keep your videos of a guy juggling.
Yeah, that's right. Singles here.
I am a little sad about that.
Is it on YouTube somewhere?
Speaking of... Yeah, I'll just rip it.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of stupid CEOs, and I don't like to, but that's what's going on in the news right now.
Yeah.
Elon Musk has been accused of sexual harassment. Allegedly, he exposed his genitals to a SpaceX employee.
Ew.
And told her that he would buy her a pony. If she,
did Elon, stuff. Okay, I think he's a gross person anyways, just because I think he's ridiculous and horrible and also gross. But this makes me give him you that some much more details. More gross. Okay.
She has already, they already settled with her. They paid her money. She was, basically like after this thing happened, her shifts, you know, with the company were reduced to almost zero. So she was kind of being pushed out
and
approached them for a settlement and they paid it. And so she's under an NDA. That's part of the settlement. But like she told a friend or something like that. And
then somebody
told somebody.
Okay. Somebody's like, I'm not under an NDA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is like, well, I mean, that's kind of like, I think. Can you tell the end? But you could tell that one. You could tell your chatty Kathy friend. That's fine. She did kind of break the NDA by telling her friend.
You're not supposed to say anything to anybody.
So here's the cool thing that you remember. Leftists and Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're the same thing. right before this happened.
Yeah.
So this happened like Friday, I think. Okay. Like Friday morning, he's like, you know what? I think I'm a Republican now. Let's see how quick they come for me. And then the news cycle began and this thing came out.
What?
So it's like if you look, I think that he is exposing your erect penis to, and then telling you you're going to buy her a pony. That's a very stupid thing to do.
Gross.
But either him or the people that he's got working for him are very smart in terms of manipulation. Because they knew that.
Yes.
Even before, there must have been inklings of this coming out. Because for the past couple of weeks, he's been saying a lot of weird stuff. Like, you know, I think maybe Trump's okay, you know. And it's like, oh boy, the woke culture mob is going to blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to get him off Twitter or whatever. He's been, you know, going up to this. Maybe he tried. Maybe he spent $50 billion to buy Twitter just to, like, delete this lady's account and try to keep this, you know,
I wouldn't put it past him.
But anyway, yeah, he's so that petty. The morning that this came out, he said, I'm a Republican now, knowing that now he was, you know, be protected by all the insane posters, right-wing posters.
He's not a Republican now. I don't know what he is. He's an Elon Musk.
He's a rich person.
That is
a political affiliation.
Yeah.
And but it, you know, it's generally the right, but let's
face
it.
He's out for himself.
It's not all the left, too.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi can buy a million archdioceses. She doesn't need that one.
Yeah, right.
Too political. Back into genre media.
She'll buy her own communion.
Yeah. She's just eating wafers.
I'm going to buy my way into heaven.
Welches.
Oh, my gosh. Disgusting.
Transmogrify. No, it's not transmogrify.
What?
That's Calvin and Hobbes.
Okay.
Transubstantiation.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
The wafers and wine turn it into a T-Rex in her stomach.
Oh my God, no.
Back to
it's
genre.
Like Alien comes out of her stomach like a little mini T-Rex.
And it says, that's all, folks.
Yes.
For Roe versus Wade.
Yes.
So we talk about, that's going to be a fun Photoshop to do. Let's go back to...
We do it to ourselves, or you do it to yourself.
Let's go back to what that great stuff we were talking about before, yes. Genre stuff. EA wants to sell. Did we talk about this, or was this another company before? Anyway,
there's so many.
Big video game companies like... Now, it's like when Bob Dylan sold all his music. It's like, if Bob Dylan's going to sell his catalog, I'm selling my catalog.
Yeah, right.
And then suddenly David Bowie's estate sells his catalog.
Yeah.
Neil Young sells all of his music.
Yes.
He got a lot of money for it.
Yeah.
Neil Young was worth a lot more than people thought.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, like, the new thing is, like, we're going to sell all of our stuff. You know, the Deus Ex and the Tomb Raider people, whoever bought it, remember we talked about how that holding company bought it?
Yes.
They're already like, we got NFTs, we got... You know, Tomb Raider male tampons.
Stop.
We got all the merchandise you can imagine.
Yeah, great.
So EA wants to sell their stuff and turn, you know, Battlefield and Mass Effect and whatever else into a real cash-making money machine.
Awesome.
I mean, not for them.
Right.
For you. For the low price of... there's no price in the article, but it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot. I'm going to search for the word billion.
All right. Yeah, it's... Okay.
Bungie was bought for $3.6 billion.
Okay.
Microsoft bought Activision for $69 billion.
Okay.
I think it would be probably a little less than Activision. Although maybe Call of Duty's not doing good, but that deal was made before that happened. So I would say it would probably be around $60
billion. Probably. I mean, this is just, they know that people are hungry to buy video games. So... At an entire enterprise, I'm obviously not talking about like actual individual games. So that's why they're putting it out there. Who do you think is gonna go for it? Do you think it'll be Microsoft or do you think it'll be like somebody else?
How can they do this?
They have
shareholders, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're one of the biggest companies.
Do the shareholders like weigh in? Are they like, yeah,
below a certain ownership, you know, level, you don't have any say.
Probably
right?
not.
No, they don't wait to poll every single person. The millions of people that own Microsoft stuff.
Yeah,
you know, there's
right.
like a board.
Right.
But just like, it can't... Do old people know nothing about video games?
No.
But old people are now people that grew up playing video games, right?
You're right.
Yes. So, like, I could tell you myself, if I was on the board, this stuff can turn overnight.
Yeah.
And it can turn after a long... Call of Duty is dying after they release... like, there's like 35 Call of Duty games. One of the reasons why it's dying. But it has made billions and billions of dollars, and nobody wants it anymore. The same is true of, like, well, Tomb Raider was a long, slow decline, but Tomb Raider made, you know, 1990s billions of dollars.
Yes, right.
And now nobody wants... It was a fire sale at Eidos.
Yeah, nobody's, like, really excited about the Alicia Vikander, like, films.
No.
And the Call of Duty show, I hear next to nobody talking about
There's a Call of Duty show?
Isn't it Call of Duty?
You mean Halo.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I get them confused.
So the last episode of the Halo show came out recently on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
And like, that Microsoft money's got to be good because a lot of the reviewers are like, it's big swings, big swings.
Oh, really? So now they're saying it's good.
Don't piss in my face and call it sunshine. Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's BS. What, the last episode makes it worth it?
Master Chief gets it on.
Oh, great. Master Chief Fs. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, he took
the
helmet
off. Does he wear his helmet on?
wouldn't that be so great if he did?
It would.
This is going to be...
He's like, no, leave my helmet on.
This is going to be a packed Photoshop, I got to tell
you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No, and the thing is like, I'm not really surprised. Like, once you take the helmet off, here's the deal. You can't...
He takes it off in the first episode.
Yeah. You can't... I mean, you can... Well, no, you can't. Name a show, I'll wait, where a character never shows their face.
You can't because... Like,
and
even
cartoon doesn't count. Dr. Claw doesn't count.
Mandalorian, like, no, he shows his face.
They're paying for that face. They're going to show it. They didn't show Mark Hamill's face.
Dr. Fate, does he show his face? I mean, that's a cartoon. But
yeah, and it's James Bond. They're going to show his face.
I don't think Kane. There really is.
They took Kane's mask off eventually.
Oh, what about the Question? You never see the Question, his actual face, unless that is his actual face.
That's a cartoon.
I know.
And in the comic, you do see his face.
Oh. Well,
that's not his actual face. It's a mask. That's the whole point.
I don't know this. He's a weird guy.
Why don't you track Steve? Get Dicko down and see if he'll explain it to you.
Just knock on his everybody says coffin.
Like it's such excuse a mystery.
Me.
They made like
excuse
a whole,
me, Mr. Dicko.
They made a whole documentary about like searching for Steve Ditko. I think it was called that. Okay. And like, I guarantee there are half a dozen people who you know want you to take him off their hands.
Uh-huh.
You know, living in his rent-controlled you know apartment in. In Queens or wherever he was.
Yeah,
I'm sure like the coffee shop is sick of hearing his shit. You know, the guy at the shoe shiner is sick of hearing his shit.
Yeah.
Just talking about it like, you know, the parasites are taking over this country.
Oh, my God.
Right? Oh, Steve. Oh, Steve. It's been so long.
I just think of Ditko balls when I think of Steve Ditko. That's kind of what I think of.
I can't remember what you're talking about.
So
Master Chief. Okay, so Master Chief. All right, so he takes his helmet off.
Yeah.
We don't know. There's probably a great example somewhere. And I still really want to sit here in silence and think about it. But the point is, what are you going to do? Have him not take his helmet off the whole time? He's not going to be a character.
Right.
Plus, no actor's going to go for that. But, like, do you have to go so hard in the other direction?
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So you got Pablo Schreiber, and then, like, they create one new character. I mean, they created more than one. But, like, you know, a minor female, a female minor.
Yes.
And then a female, a hot woman of age. And it's like, yeah. Oh, I wonder if Master Chief is going to bone somebody.
Yeah,
That's
and I
who
wonder
he bones.
Who. Yeah, yeah, right. Okay.
No offense to Natasha McElhinney, who's, you know... Bone her any day of the week, but she's there
compliment.
To you know she's there to be
quote unquote
you know like this mother figure to John.
Yeah, right. He's not gonna
not saying she's not boneable.
Well, he doesn't think so because she's a mother figure to him.
Right,
but yeah.
So we got to get this other character he's make up out of whole cloth.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean emphasis on the whole.
Yeah.
Bet you didn't know Master Chief was Jewish. Whole cloth.
I got okay. it.
Yeah. Orthodox.
Yeah.
Should we move? See, wow. Like I said, it might be offensive, but it's over fast. I told you it was Jewish. Let's talk about Babylon 5 and the fact that the reboot is very much in active development, which sounds like it's not in active development. But that's according to
that's CW exactly what it
chairman
like.
And CEO. Oh, should you be both of those? Mark Pedowitz. They're doing it.
So you just continuing to say, hey, we're doing it. We're doing it. We're still doing it. It makes it sound like you are a kid in the other room being like, I'm doing my homework. I'm doing my homework. I'm doing my times tables. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Did and like do not doing it.
Don't hit the desk. Did you do this?
Yeah. What? Did I do this?
Yeah.
No, I didn't do this.
No wonder your homework never got done. I do have my homework.
No,
I do have my homework.
No, I was a good kid. I did my homework. I'm just saying, why are you telling us that you're working on it? We knew you were working on it. So it just sounds like you're not working on it, or it's going to be in quote unquote development for a long time.
The reason that I'll never be a good writer or creator is that I'm too precious about things. And when I think about the, and there are definitely writers, Harper Lee is a great example, where you can just fire one off and that and you made it, baby. Yeah. And you had another one that wasn't that great. Put that in the safe, open when I die.
Yeah.
But like most of the writers I know, they are tie-in writers. And so they have to struggle to, you know, to maintain and develop their own originality within the constraints of a pre-existing universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so they write something out and the editor goes, that character's got to do this, or we're going to do this with them. And so you have to be, there are no darlings. Yeah. Killing darlings creatively for them isn't always about getting rid of things that you really wanted to put in there. It's literally, we can't do this. You can't use that character.
Right.
Or we have to call it something else or whatever.
Right.
And so they can't be precious about stuff. But J. Michael Straczynski is taking the show that put him on the map.
Yes.
And is arguably his best work.
Yes.
And rewriting it himself from the ground up.
Yeah, I know.
So that's like, okay, Harper Lee, take the cover off the Smith Corona.
Wow.
Write it all over again.
Right. It's a tall task.
But now I with think, holograms.
Yeah. I mean, like, is he just going to, like, update the, wow, update the
CPU
special
Radley.
Effects? Yeah.
Come on, help me.
CPU Radley, I don't get it. I'm gonna be honest.
We're gonna update To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh.
Dave Chappelle is in the Brock Peters role, and he's being put on trial because he can't use his free speech. And so Atticus Finch is 1-800-Lawyers.com, and he's gonna like, no, this man, you're gonna tell him he can't make a joke about a gun that identifies as a knife. What kind of people are we?
No.
And then when the Twitter lynch mob comes for him, we're going to stent. Is that what happens? I've never seen or read To Kill a Mockingbird.
It's not exactly what happens. No. And it's, I mean.
Isn't he defending a black man who supposedly raped somebody?
Yeah, but it's very questionable whether he actually did.
Not in the movie, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it is in the movie.
Really?
You know, yeah.
In the movie, he's not an abject figure? I object.
Well, yeah, Finch is an abject figure.
You know what abject means?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Beyond the Marx Brothers joke that you didn't get?
No.
Okay.
I don't. He's trying to, it's about racism, and he's trying to defend this guy who, you know.
He's not sure is guilty.
Well, yeah, but he has to do his best to be his lawyer anyways.
I'll tell you right now, you have done a very bad job of synopsizing To Kill a Mockingbird. And I wish that that applied to you talking about, let's say, anime that I haven't watched that I'm trying to remain unspoiled for because that's part of the premise of our show, Sailor Noob.
Well, but then
do not tell me anything else about To Kill a Mockingbird. Also, Scout thinks that Boo Radley is scary and he's actually nice.
Yeah,
I got it.
Yes.
I knew that part.
It's about prejudice.
I understand what it's about. And a pocket watch in a tree, I know. But the point is that I wish you inhale and you reveal things about upcoming episodes of Sailor Moon. But you can't seem
can't
seem to explain the plot of the most read book in the English language besides the Bible.
I know To Kill a Mockingbird. Stop it.
Spoil the Bible for everybody. Go.
No, I can't because I haven't read it.
Well, in the beginning.
There is Adam and Eve. I don't know what you want from me.
I'm going to guess last word, amen.
Yeah, right. Exactly. bookend that. So yeah.
That's another thing. There's got to be, this is a first year Twitter. No, I think it took a while for people to figure out that Twitter could be funny. Now it's everybody's trying to be funny. And
everybody tries to be funny.
It's a hellscape.
It is.
But like probably early on there was like the quick hits, Queeby, quick bites, literature, right? So it's like, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It's a far better thing I do than I've ever done. There, yes. You read two cities. It is a well-known fact that any man within for fortune.
Yes,
a,
but Pride and Prejudice.
What's the last line of Pride and Prejudice?
I can't remember. I'm going to be honest. I can't remember.
Papa. I'm so happy.
I don't think so. I think she's with Darcy at the end.
Oh, okay. Do kissing noises count?
Yeah, right. That sounds about right. That sounds about right.
A very proper British kiss.
The most proper.
Anyway, it'll be on CW. CW boss also said, now that it's been announced that Riverdale will end with its 7th season.
Yeah.
He said, 7 years is the right amount.
damning with faint praise. What is happening here?
Depends on what you mean.
Yeah, right.
Quarters? No. Seasons of Riverdale? Yes.
Yeah, right. At what point did Riverdale go off the rails? Right away?
Ask your friend that watches it.
Yeah, I know.
All I know is I see pictures of the stars.
Yes.
And they are... I feel like facial recognition would identify them as photogenic, but mm-hmm. in real life, I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
They look like people. Oh, we have a mutual friend.
Oh no! Don't be insulting.
I'll have to tell you their name literally for you to understand.
Okay.
And so we can't. I won't go too deep, but
yeah.
When I tell you their name, who is attractive?
Uh-huh.
This person.
Yeah.
But. You would agree. Anybody would agree. Not exactly attractive.
Like, okay.
There's a checklist here.
Sure.
And it's like, well, everything's great. But uh-huh. It's like, I'll tell you it's a guy. So that people don't think I'm being... for some reason, it's okay for me to say that about a guy. I can't say about a girl. So I'll just tell you it's a guy. You don't actually know if it is a guy. I'm just going to say it's a guy.
Sure.
He is like attractive, but you're like, but there's like something off about him, you know?
Okay. Okay.
Kind of.
I don't know who you're talking about, but I believe you. Don't tell me on air because I feel like that's going
to
be weird.
I already said I wasn't going to.
Yeah.
Anyway, the entire cast of Riverdale is like that for me. Yeah. They have talked.
Especially Archie.
He said, yeah, he's,
yeah.
They had a long conversation with the executive producer.
Okay.
And with the chief creative officer of Archie Comics. They're involved.
How?
Aren't they Christian comics? Doesn't Archie now pray
Christian
that
comics?
Moose will stop picking on him and then, you know, a hand comes down and tells Moose, yes, they've been Christian comics for a long time.
I had no idea. That went way over my head as a kid.
Over your head if you were watching Greg Berlanti's Riverdale where they're doing threesomes and stuff.
And I will tell you, my best friend, who's Jewish.
For Bridge. I meant for they're playing Bridge. It's a very Christian show.
My best friend who's Jewish, like... Her mom sent her Archie comics at camp all the time. And that was like one of the first times I was like really introduced to them.
Teacher?
Yeah.
I have my hand up.
Yes.
But we're on a radio show.
Cal.
There you go.
Yeah.
Too late.
Sorry.
is that weird?
That's what I'm wondering. Is that weird?
Well, you should know.
I didn't get that it was Christian. I'm guessing she didn't either.
Is it weird that a Jewish kid is really into Archie? That's what I want to know is weird.
Yeah, that's I don't know. I don't know how Christian it is. I had no idea.
I'll tell you, as a person who grew up a Christian, I've absolutely seen Archie praying that the tornado won't get them or something like that. I've seen that before.
Well, I mean,
in
do
later
they do, like,
Archie
the,
comics.
The Son, the Father, the Holy Ghost or
I don't,
something like that.
First of all, that's Catholic. That's not Protestant. And
yeah,
it is definitely
right.
Protestant/evangelical.
Okay.
But I just don't know if like Jews like Archie. No, it's just like, you know, it's not...
Well, this particular person does, yeah.
I know, but what I'm saying is we've got a sample size of two here.
Yeah. Yeah, both of us.
But you can't extrapolate anything. No, it just like it just turns into like, you know, Moose or I always pick Moose, but honestly, like the Punisher went to Riverdale, so like, you know, it could be anybody. And then like it's like all Christian media and drama, it ends with like the last act is, you know, them praying and then the guy's got a gun or something and Archie's like, "What if, you know, you look to God for your targets or something?" he's created a Christian serial killer.
Wow, right.
So
great.
The metaphor didn't work out. But the point is, like, they, you know, pray or something, or just or quote a Bible verse, and then the Bible verse is like, you know, you just look it up. And
well,
you haven't seen this?
That would have gone way over my head too. I believe you.
Did I get
you.
Hit in the head and just imagine?
No,
this?
I believe you. I just it would have gone over my head, and I wouldn't have known. When I was really young when I was reading them, so I wouldn't have known that.
Spire Comics was founded in 1870.
Uh-huh. Okay.
A book company intended to make practical books for the everyday Christian life.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So, and here's a Comics Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
12 craziest moments from Archie's Christian comics.
Well, is it weird though?
So,
like
the artist at the time, Al Hartley, became a born again Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he made a comic adaptation of The Cross and the Switchblade? Actually, anyway, I remember this. I remember this, yeah. Yeah, and that was in 72. So, yes. I'm sure they're a little more mainstream now, but yeah, he's definitely...
Yeah, I mean, I'm just...
This is an Archie podcast now.
It is an Archie podcast now. I'm just wondering, like, how in your face it would have been that it was Christian, and, like, would I have... reading it, would I just been like, oh, they're praying, okay, whatever, no, like, no big deal, like, would the Christian elements have stuck out to me, and would I have thought, oh, is this not for me, should I not be reading it? No.
Well, when Archie is telling somebody there's a hostage situation and
holy
Archie's
cow.
Friend prays and a lightning bolt strikes the house but doesn't kill them all. And he says, "Out of my way, Beelzebub." And then it says, editor's note, see Matthew 16:23. Would you have gotten that?
No. I mean, it's very
what?
In your
what
face.
What would you think was going on?
I just would think, oh, they're praying. I don't, I'm just trying to say, as a very young kid, I didn't get that they were referencing Bible verses with the numbers and the names. I just was like, well, I don't know what that is. Do, 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 do. I was not, I just didn't know what it was. I didn't understand it. I'm just being honest. I was dumb. So.
You ever see Young Archie?
Young Archie? How young are we talking?
Archie had like a.
Maybe.
An imprint or like a version that was like the Archie kids. It was like Little Archies
probably.
Or something. And so it was like Peanuts, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But like Lil Archie was like terrible. Like he was the villain of the comic because
oh.
all he did was just beat up
maybe
the girls, like
this.
Like physically attack and assault the girls.
Well, this sounds terrible.
Yeah. And he was like a real brat. But then mm-hmm. at some point they kind of changed over and it became like an action adventure thing because that became like, this is like in the 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
That became sort of like what was cool. Like the Mark Trail sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then suddenly it was like everybody, you know, Riverdale is, you know, the army's coming through or there's a shipment of dynamite on a train that Archie finds himself on top of fighting a cougar.
Yeah.
Or Archie almost shot his dad once. Like a burglar broke into their house and Archie got the gun and he like shot at the burglar and like
he thought he hit his dad. Wow. That sounds like a...
Now, that's a moment when you sit down and pray.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Let's do one more story picked at random that hopefully has nothing to do with the CW. I never got to say, oh, man.
What?
I have more CW content, but we're not going to talk about it. Instead, we're going to save some of these maybe for later. Next week, we're going to talk about the She-Hulk Attorney at Law trailer,
yes.
which has debuted on YouTube.
Yes.
What do you think?
Hubba,
hubba, hubba. Money, money, money.
I'm not hubba hubba hubba.
Well,
I mean, I guess she looks good. Well, does she?
Does she?
She looks very, you and I are talking about this, she looks very CGI, like even like compared to the Hulk, who is also in this.
See, this
and
is why you don't waste your Shrek references. Because everybody, yeah. Every time anybody sees the color green, they just do a Shrek reference. You've wasted it. Now we have a character that looks like Fiona from Shrek, and you have wasted all of your Shrek references.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why it doesn't look that bad. But I don't know why it doesn't look better.
Yeah, it should be more polished.
Yeah, and
it should
like
be what they spent the most money on.
Well,
for the show, besides paying her, obviously.
I don't think she makes that much money, does she?
I don't know. I like her. I think she's a good actor.
I like her too.
Yeah,
but I don't think she pulls down money.
Oh,
Ruffalo's making more than her.
Well, you're right about that.
If it's a computer thing, maybe it's that they've already spent a lot of movie money on the assets that create a Mark Ruffalo Hulk.
Yeah.
But yeah, you think that there would be, they want this to go a couple seasons, right?
Yeah, so
maybe not. I don't know. They haven't even made a second Loki yet. Yeah, you think like this is the buy-in, right? So so here's a couple problems.
Mm.
Women, the standard, the beauty standard of women.
Yeah, sure.
Is less interesting in detail than a man. Do you know what I mean? A man can have wrinkles. He can have look at Pedro Pascal, right?
Sure.
That little rumpled tortilla.
Don't call him rumpled.
Right?
Yeah.
Looks great. He didn't even do his hair.
You're right. Yeah.
But like, you know, the beauty standard for a woman is completely informationless skin, like a black hole.
Yeah, I know.
You know, only flesh colored or whatever color you are.
Yeah.
Hair, not a hair out of place.
Yeah.
You know, it is sort of like perfect for looking fake. It's right. So when you recreate, you know, Tatiana Maslany in as a robot, no, she's not a robot, she's a Hulk or whatever, and then you just, you know, up 35% and then make her green, she's going to look like a character from 20 years ago in CGI, because this is not very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I can think of. That, or maybe they're doing a thing where, and this is something you run into, believe it or not, for how much they trace porn and who knows what they're jerking off over, male artists aren't always good at like doing female fashion and hair. They don't understand.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I cannot. When I saw this trailer,
John Byrne,
I did not believe.
John Byrne lovingly drew every single little hair on She-Hulk. Use your imagination. But like, I think the most hype, when you Google She-Hulk, you will see a Greg Horn cover from her early 2000s series.
Probably.
That terrible, light-boxed, he wasn't as bad as Greg Land in terms of the porn tracing, but like the awful light-boxed digital, you know, painting, tempera painting type stuff. That very detailless, you know, kind of pasteled, you know, light colors, that sort of thing.
Right.
And so if they're using that as their template and you, you know, fed that into a computer, give that to a digital artist, he would just give you what he wanted.
Yeah.
So she wouldn't have a hairstyle, even though the whole point is she's supposed to be glamorous when she's She-Hulk.
Yes.
She would go out and get her hair done or something.
Right.
But instead her hair is just like, because that's how Greg Horn drew it on the thing, because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, I'm not saying I want it to be like Aloy, where it's blowing everywhere, but like, give me something. It should be dynamic. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe it is dynamic, but I just think that it would be styled. But when you see her, it's just sort of like,
it's
like
there,
a 70s shag, like this is, you know, was made in the 70s.
Yeah.
Now, if that's some kind of like, you know, Bruce Banner, David Banner throwback or something, I guess we have to watch the show.
I guess.
And maybe they'll, you know, put extra CGI juice on it for the show. We don't know if this is the quality that they're aiming at.
Are they?
But you are looking to promote this. So wouldn't you just do all the things?
Yeah, you would think they would do all the things. They're not ugly Sonicking it, right? They're not putting it out there and being like, well, let's just see what the internet thinks, right?
She-Hulk teeth.
Yeah. I mean, she would have human teeth. So, I mean, what would the opposite be? She has Sonic teeth or whatever.
What's she doing?
Cartoon
with those
teeth. Yeah, right. I guess you have a couple of different things to choose from for the Photoshop art for this show.
Here's the deal. Are they going to make her or let her step on Deadpool's thing that She-Hulk is another character who sometimes knows that she's in a comic book. Or at least she...
I think that they should.
At least she addresses the... She was actually one of the original... Yep, that's me. I bet you're wondering how I got here.
Right, exactly.
So the fact that, like, that has been so mainstreamed, is there any chance of them being able to even do that?
I hope they do that, because that's fun, you know? It's just fun.
Well, you have to really make it your own, though, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Boy, it was. I feel like it was going to be Alison Brie for a long time. The internet, if the internet had their way, it was going to be Alison Brie.
It was going to be Alison Brie for a really long time.
So they solved the problem of, like, well, we'll just computer her, so she doesn't have to, like,
right.
Lift
do
weights
we,
or
do we get somebody who's really bulky and buff?
Sure, Alison
and,
Brie like, did a wrestling show for 4 years.
She did. Yeah.
And now she's kicking herself.
I know. She's like, I could have been She-Hulk.
Other than this, look. We make the joke, I've made the joke many times, but this is probably the one place where, again, it is the joke, right? Mm-hmm. Walking on sunshine. I just want to be a lawyer. We need some Cosmos over here, stat right now.
Yeah, it is.
But then her, like, I don't want to wait. I have these powers, but what do I do with them?
I know. You have
I feel
to
like
use
I
your
can't
powers.
Judge this because it's just so they're doing everything that
it's
they're
color by
this
numbers.
Came first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
I
saying
know.
This inspired every Paula Cole soundtracked trailer, but like the whole idea
Shouldn't
of
have.
Like she's trying to balance both these halves of her lives, and sometimes she feels like she's this, sometimes she's like this.
Right.
Like this was, you know, here's the fun thing. I'm glad that feminists are going to love this. And chauvinists aren't.
I'm fine with that.
I'm glad. You know why?
Why?
Because this all started as a rights grab.
Did She-Hulk, it really?
You
I
want to talk
about that.
Like gender flipped characters in Rule 36ing or whatever? She was only created because Stan Lee's like, wait a minute. If we can make a Captain Marvel character and steal the name of their company, they can just make a She-Hulk. You can't trademark Hulk.
I see.
So he's like, quick, make a She-Hulk.
Make a She-Hulk. Do
yeah.
it.
And they did it.
Wow.
That's where she came from. No,
wow.
I'm not saying that she didn't go anywhere after that. She certainly did. She's one of my favorite characters. I always liked it when she was with the Fantastic Four, you know? But like...
Sure, yeah.
This, as far as like the amazing feminist origins of this character...
No, that didn't happen.
No.
Okay, well...
It's just, John, quick, John...
Be honest
draw,
with
draw
what
the
happened.
Hulk with boobs.
Oh my God!
Wait a minute. Where that came out really fast, John. What else have you got in that drawer?
Oh,
I don't
want to
know about it.
No, don't tell me.
Until
don't
we need
me.
A Spider Girl.
Oh my God!
But woman, Spider Woman, John. Wrong drawer. Wrong drawer.
No.
Excelsior. You're not singing along.
Hold on.
Is it because you have an M&M in your mouth?
Yes.
Professional. Downton Abbey, A New Era.
Oh, I was going to sing with you.
Is the second, too late, is the second film of the Downton Abbey film franchise.
Yes.
Directed by Simon Curtis. Yes, that Simon Curtis.
I don't know who Simon Curtis is.
Well, if you're done eating.
I'm done eating, I promise.
He's not anybody. He is married to Elizabeth McGovern, though.
I feel like I should know who that is, but I don't.
Cora.
Oh, Cora. He's married to Cora.
Yeah,
okay.
So you know how I got the job.
Okay.
And must I say, he did some fine work.
He did.
He did not.
Oh.
I mean, unless they were trying to do a thing where we'll just do one setup. Yeah, I know there's COVID. I know a lot of these actors are old and both get tired and don't want to get COVID and die.
Yeah.
But like, you know, cousin Isabel will come in and then just talk. And then somebody's standing at the edge of the frame and it's not like a composition.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah,
just leave and you're like,
you're
that's
saying.
The whole scene? Like, boy, that was easy.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of really interesting camera work or, yeah, and I feel like actually the vast majority of stuff was filmed indoors for this too. Like there wasn't a whole lot outdoors that was done, which is actually kind of surprising. You'd think with like COVID they would do more outdoors.
It's a show about a house.
I know it's a show about a house. You have to do it indoors. And of course, you know, you're talking about the house, and then you have to have the big reveal of the house at some point during the film because it is a character. And that's fine. I still enjoyed it, though. But
we're not doing reviews.
I know.
It was not number one. Doctor Strange was number one still this weekend, but it was a solid number two.
Okay.
You're not going to do anything with that?
Already? A solid number two. Get the poop knife. That's good.
Tell us what happens in this film. It was directed by the husband of one of the stars.
Okay. Jeez. All right. So basically at the beginning of this film, Tom marries the lady that he met in the last film. I can't remember. Her name is Lucy, I think.
Sure.
And
that sounds about right.
Yeah, and she's anyways, they're very happy. Wedding. Okay. But we find out that like Downton isn't doing so great, and then there's this proposition.
Downton is never doing great.
I feel like that happens a lot. I feel like
they didn't push it all that much. Because they basically like fixed it in the last movie, didn't they? But there has to be like a ticking clock or a problem still.
Yes.
And so at this point, after over 10 years or whatever with these characters, we can believe that something's gone wrong and that Downton Abbey needs money.
Yes.
Although you can't blame it on Lord Grantham at this point.
No.
Because Mary's in charge.
Mary's in charge. And that's a big part of this film. That's cool. But the roof is leaking.
Yeah, it's the roof is leaking. We've never seen the attic before.
No, not once. Grantham is like, I haven't been up here in years. And I'm like, I have never been up here. Yeah. So they get a proposition from Hollywood to...
Hollywood.
What?
It's a British like film company.
Is it British? Okay.
I think Hollywood is, in this case, a Tammany or Synecdoche. I never know which one. Sure. One is actually the other, but the other is not the other one, which is itself probably Synecdoche. It's just like, I mean, it's they're going to want to make a movie there.
They want to make a movie. I don't think
it's like a Hollywood movie.
And it's called like The Gambler, and it's about...
We're the gambler.
Yeah, and it's about this lady who falls in love with this guy, and he turns out to be a gambler, and it's like her family is horrified and that sort of thing.
Yeah. You think that they'd maybe do something with that?
You would think that they would, but they not really.
They do not at all.
So
only this meta, no more.
Yeah, exactly.
You're watching a movie about them making a movie.
Yeah.
Inside of the TV show you like to watch.
So she kind
of... But should the plot of the movie have anything to do with what's going on?
Yeah.
No.
Right. So Mary's husband is absent the entire time, and then like
it doesn't even show up. For the film.
And then like her and the director, they seemed like they're getting along really well, and like maybe something is going to happen there. So you thought like for a little bit, maybe
I was Mary, kiss this guy.
Yeah,
go not down a fan on this guy.
This husband.
Let's get this thing moving.
Yeah,
see if Anna's got the old birth control stuff still.
Oh my god,
come on!
But
actually, do it raw.
That's too much for this film, don't you think?
Give them a reason to stick around.
But that didn't happen. But what does happen is during the film, the film company decides to call and they're going to cancel it because it's a silent film, but it's right at that time where the talkies are first coming out. And so they're going to, cancel this film because it's not a talkie and it's very expensive. And Mary has this great idea. Well, why can't you just make it a talkie? And like,
I've invented ADR.
Yeah, I know. And like, you can just record the lines over like what, was already filmed. And he was like, oh, I got to call them back, And so that is what they end up doing. But the main actress is beautiful, but she has a horrible speaking voice. And so Mary ends up recording her lines for her, much to the actress's horror. And she gets a great talking to by Daisy and Anna. And Daisy especially really gives her a pep talk, you know, like, don't forget where you come from, but, you know, be proud of who you are and you can do this and be professional, get out there, chin up, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Tough British love. So she does that. And then I guess I should mention also that the other main plot of the film is the Dowager Countess has inherited this villa in the south of France, and she's decided she's going to give it to Sibby because Sibby wasn't going to inherit much. And the family who it belonged to, the widow and her son, the widow is not happy about it, but the son is okay with it. They invite the entire family there, and a lot of them go, not all of them do. And much to Lord Grantham's horror, he finds out that this guy, who's been a very gracious host, thinks that he's his brother, that his mother and his father and the other guy's father spent some time together, and that Lord Grantham is actually their kid and not his dad's kid.
Yeah.
And there's a miniature of Lady Grantham in the in one of the rooms as well, and it's like, to my love and all this stuff. I guess I won't spoil it, but also Lady Grantham isn't doing very well, so she's not there. That's essentially the plot of the film, don't you think?
Yeah,
more or less.
That and like, let's cram 12 actors into a room.
Well, and everybody has to have an arc. Well, yes.
I didn't pay. She was basically, it was all shot reverse shot. I don't think anybody even like barely touches her when she's in her bed. So, yeah, hopefully Maggie Smith's still walking around out there.
But yeah, I think so.
Shoot this movie now.
I know, right?
Or 2 years ago. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I love this stupid series.
I know.
But I have two problems. One is that, I mean, I would definitely be there first opening weekend like I was this time around for a third film. But
yeah.
I think we kind of played with this maybe on another show. But like, what's it going to be about? And I won't bore you with my pitches. But everybody's married off at this point.
I know. That's one thing that like...
You know, I mean, you're running out of like loose ends to tie up.
Unless
the guy
dies.
That raped Anna didn't really die in that car accident, and he's back.
Stop it.
He's back with a knife.
Yeah.
Or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, you're running out of like grist for the mill. Here you go. What if, I don't know, we knew any of the children that these idiots have?
They barely show the children, and this is like Downton Abbey, the new era. So
yeah,
you could speculate that maybe it would be focused on the children.
And that,
but they don't.
More and more, the series goes completely up its own ass in terms of ignoring all of the historical context. I get it. It's not fun to do dealing with British fascism and Mosley and stuff like that.
Right.
In Britain at the time.
Right.
But like, it has to be about something. It was fine to make it about World War I when that came around.
Yes.
So why can't we do like the rise of British fascism, the lead up to World War II? If they do one more, they've got to do World War II.
I think that they have to.
Only because I think the characters have actually like are younger than the actors now. Because they kind of stretch and pull the time. And when he said like, oh yes, Matthew died 7 years ago or whatever. It's like, really?
It was only 7 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was a little longer than that.
Yeah, right.
In real life. So,
yeah.
So like they, and, you know, and then... I mean, slight spoilers, I guess, if you feel like you can be spoiled in a series that you may not have watched at all or you know everything about. The character of Tom, which was introduced as like this Irish revolutionary and communist.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, they already broke his character, broke the back of his character when he gets married into this family.
I know.
And he's kind of forced into it because he elopes with the youngest daughter.
Yes. But
he inherits her. She dies in childbirth. So now he has like this daughter who at that point was essentially like the only issue of this family that's very concerned about who's going to inherit the abbey.
Yeah.
Later on, it becomes moot. But by then, huh, I likes this. This is a nice suit. I sure like my car. And I sure like that city's taken care of. And this movie is all about, like, hey, let's steal that old French lady's house and give it to the revolutionary guy.
And he's like,
as long as we're always working for the people. What are you talking about? You haven't been that in forever.
I know. I don't like the idea of the idle rich. Let's go back to...
Mary's husband doesn't exist.
No. Children are just playing.
Edith's husband is like just a punchline machine. He doesn't do anything.
No.
You are essentially the man of the house at this point.
Yeah.
You and Mary run the whole house.
Yeah, but we didn't see a whole lot of that in this. Yeah. We see him mostly just go like with his new wife being all like, I'm so happy. Just like lovingly looking into her eyes and stuff like that.
I'm so happy we don't have any dumb storylines or character development to do.
I know. I do wish there was more character development. That's the
only thing, like I said, I'm going to watch it no matter what if there's a third one. But the only thing that's going to make it interesting and make me not need, what's his name, to come out at the beginning and explain what happened in the last one.
Yeah.
Because I forgot, it's not good that he's named Mosley, but that's okay. It's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Or is it? Because let's face it, Julian Fellowes he is writing for a different age.
I think so.
A gilded age, perhaps.
Yeah.
You think that's why they went back in time? Bum, 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 bum. Because it would allow him to, you know, take on the robber barons of America of the mid 1800s, but like not, or late 1800s, I guess, and not make any comments on it. Because I always said, like, if the Russells aren't in barrels and suspenders by season three, this show is a failure.
Right.
Because you are basically rewriting, like, I know history. That, like, well, they're not rewriting history. They've added a character that doesn't really exist, but he stands in for, you know, your teapot dome millionaires or whatever.
Right.
But, like, it's one thing to have a landed gentry and have somebody like Mary who wants to wear a flapper dress and go, well, we should be nicer to the servants. That's a lot of that happened.
Yeah.
Well, the gears slipped in this thing a lot, didn't they? And now you've got, Gordon Ramsay yelling at people on TV, and that's British royalty.
Right.
But America's a little different, isn't it?
It is different.
It's more free and less free at the same time.
Yeah. It is.
As far as the money goes. And so, like, I want the Russells to be a cautionary tale. There's a reason that we don't remember their names, along with Astor, along with, you know, all these other people. And it's because they lose it all. And then they can become characters that I can like because they join a labor movement or something like that.
Yeah, I don't really care about
it's not going to happen
very much
it's
right
not
going
to happen at all.
I know.
Because we've seen what they had the chance to do in two movies. And it's still this bullshit about like, oh, the king is coming. Oh, you know, if you go forward anymore, what's the big scandal going to be in the royal circles? The abdication of Edward.
Yes.
And that horrible American fascist woman.
Yeah,
his girlfriend.
Right. It's all her fault.
There is nowhere to go. There's a wall.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, They do have to bring in World War II if they do it again, I think. They just absolutely have to. And I think that they should actually try to bring in the children more. I just think that, like, how can you even talk about, like, going forward if you don't do that? And then maybe make more – I mean, I love these characters, but maybe make more drama and I don't
– Oh, my God. Are these rich people going to get another rich person's house?
Yeah, I know. Why?
Funnily enough, and this goes completely over the head of any American viewer, but like, I'm thinking like, oh, no, Paul Giamatti, no, like there's no big cameos in this. Sorry, Hugh Dancy. Law and Order fans and Hannibal fans, I guess, are excited.
Yes.
But like, Natalie Bay is probably like the biggest cameo in this. She plays Madame Montmirail. And she's like a huge French actress. Like, she's been in a ton of stuff.
Okay.
She's been in some American stuff, too. But, like, she's a really big deal. But literally her only part is just like, I don't like you and you take my house.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, she was good. She was really good. But, yeah.
She's all right.
But they didn't really give her a lot to do. I don't have a problem with it with Downton completely. But I'm just... in general, not really a fan of, like, and we paired everybody off by the end, and now everybody's in a happy, happy couple, the end, tied up in a neat little bow, and isn't it lovely? It just kind of, it's too perfect. And it just, I mean, I know that this isn't real. I know this is, you know, extended belief of history, you know, anyway, but it just kind of takes me out of it, I think, is why I don't like that. Just because it's not realistic. You know?
Well, you don't come to this for realism. No, you come to it for polo parties and changing for dinner and
yes,
and toast points.
And the Dowager Countess being snippy and having one-liners and just being a joy to watch. And she was right up until the end of the film. So,
yeah. That can't be it.
Well, I mean, do we want to do spoilers or, you know, there's not much, but I feel like.
All right. Well, I guess from here on, we're talking about spoilers, but not really.
Yeah. The Dowager Countess passes away.
Oh, okay. She just wanted to talk about that.
Yeah. And it's really sad, but like, I feel like we've been talking about it and wondering even in the last film, is that going to happen? So I completely understand why it happens. And she's very funny up until like she dies. Like she's like to one of the maids, she's like, who's like, can't stop crying. She's like, oh, stop. I can't hear myself dying. I'm just like, it's such a ridiculous, like funny line. And it makes you laugh about this situation, which is not great. And I cried a lot during this film. I cried at that. I cried when there's a big reveal that Cora is possibly really ill. She thinks that she might have cancer. We don't find that out right away, but then, and then it's like, oh no, wait, she's gonna be fine. It's, I can't remember what it is, but it's like treatable. And there's like,
it was like surgery. An EBR or something.
Yeah, but it was just like, I lost it because Lord Grantham like lost it, and like you never see him lose it, and like he was really emotional because he's like, I possibly might not be my father's son. I can't, you know, lose him and also lose you. I, you know, you're my rock.
His mom is his wife.
Yeah.
And his family name and
yes, exactly. It was just a lot.
That's tough.
It is tough for this rich guy. I know. But we like him anyways. I don't know. They're more likable than the Gilded Age people. I don't know what it is. It's not that I don't like the Gilded Age. I do. It's just like I don't feel for the characters as much as I do for Downton. And I know there's a lot more history with the Downton characters. But like even somebody like Mary, who's just had privilege her entire life, and you know, honestly, she's gotten more favor than her sister Edith, who has had it tough at times. You know, if you want to have it tough for her,
hey, she got her kid back.
Wealthy person,
she just wants her kid back.
I know. So, if I can like somebody like Mary, I feel like I can like, you know, the Russells. But it's like, and it's not like I don't like them because they're the nouveau riche. It's not that. I just like. Why do I care about if they're going to be accepted in New York society or not? They've got a crap ton of money that they just don't even know what to do with, you know?
Well, there is a difference between that and Downton Abbey because they don't,
yes.
Not only are they sort of already accepted in society because of their peerage, but they also live up in the country. So nobody really, they don't have to deal with anything.
You're right.
They don't have to deal with society. In fact, isn't the last season or two of the show is kind of about that, isn't it? Because they end up, is that the last movie? I don't remember these things very well.
Well, yeah, like they're not necessarily doing as well.
Right. When Cousin Rose, they introduce her and then she's somebody who does care about society and stuff like that. And so they kind of bring that in a little.
Yeah.
But mostly they're detached from all this stuff because they live way up in the sticks.
Right. And then that they're dependent upon like all the farms that are like on their land. And
yeah.
That
so many great farmer characters.
like Daisy's stepdad.
Yeah.
Who just comes in and complains and
or like asks the guy that Edith papers. Gives her kids to. And then she's like, no,
no, change my mind. I'm just kidding. I want my kid back. I know. I know. I still really enjoyed this movie. And I know. I feel like every time we go to see one of these movies, it's like, I feel like you say, we've lowered the median age of the audience.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I definitely, so that, yeah.
That there's a couple sitting in our seats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was just like, oh, whatever. So we just sat down next to them.
Oh, okay. That's I'm fine.
Gonna make a big deal out of this.
I don't care. That's funny. I did hear some lady at the end of the movie say to her, whoever she was with, oh, that was so enjoyable. I really liked that. Oh,
the actress who played Lucy's name was Tuppence. Oh, yes! Tuppence Middleton. Oh, I can't think of a more British name than that.
I know. I was like, oh my God. Oh,
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah. But it just, it sounded like something that my mom would say after seeing the film. And like,
you said it.
Yeah, I did. And my family likes Downton. So I just was like, oh, I feel like my mom's in the theater with me. This is weird. Except she's not.
I thought, well, okay. So also forgive me for, I guess, not calling Dominic West something of a cameo.
He is.
I guess. Like, what's he doing?
I don't know.
What would he be doing if not this?
I don't know. But
Showtime show?
He, a great question. But he was like, he really did seem like he fit the part, though, right? Like, of like
except
this
for
guy.
Except the fact that he isn't gay? Yeah, I think he fit the part really well.
Okay. Yes. Except for that. You're right. That is a big blaring part.
But if you're looking for a British, a guy Hollywood who type. Is British, but also. He doesn't ever really like act American, but you know, he's Dominic West has acted and probably has a house in America, lives here or whatever. Mm-hmm. He fit that. And then also, yeah, I mean, he's a handsome guy. If you need like a Clark Gable-ish kind of guy for the era.
With a really thin mustache.
Well, I mean, they can just put that on him, but yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that was all nice and all, but it was, no, we're not going to alienate our white American audience of old people. So no, not too much gay stuff. Not too much gay stuff in this. And make sure every character tells Barrow well, what a hard life he's chosen for himself. You know, because he chose to live this hard life. Well, you're very brave, Mr. Barrow, to choose a life like this. Oh, he certainly has. He's chosen this life.
It didn't sit well with me. I don't know if, like, you know, years ago, if this would have, like, the words that they chose for the script... If they would have sat well with me or not.
Right.
But
right.
This doesn't sit well to say that, oh, the life that you chose.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there bearing his soul and saying, like, I want a more honest life. And isn't that, like, great? And shouldn't that be, like...
Yes, lady who was born into money and privilege with a giant house. I would like to live a life that I would like to live.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And
is it realistic
that
an actor from America comes over and says, hey, why don't you press my clothes and my flesh?
Yeah, I know.
No, but at least he gets some, you know, some quantum of solace to live a life that he actually wants to live.
I hope they actually have
but
like a relationship.
Why not have Mary just be like, I don't give a shit. Go for it.
She could have just been like,
instead of
yeah,
like admonishing
fine.
Him, oh boy, why, you better watch out. You think... We didn't invent gay people in the 70s.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
Plus, like, how many rich people were gay because they could be? Look at the Gilded Age, and the only scheming character that isn't a maid on the show
is
the homosexual guy.
Which
What's
is
wrong
not
wrong with
great.
You, Julian Fellows?
That's bad.
But anyway,
really
the point
bad.
Is that he can just live the life that he wants to because he's this daughter.
Okay. Oh,
wow. I can say that. He's the son of like the richest lady in town, the old money lady.
Yes.
And so like they don't insinuate that anybody has any insinuations about him. But
no.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they would. And why would he necessarily care? Nobody can say he's old money.
Yes.
And they've been there forever and they're going to be there forever.
Yes.
So like he doesn't go to church. Who cares?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That absolutely happened.
Yes.
A confirmed bachelor.
Yes.
Now, if you're Barrow and you are, you know, low born and you need this job to survive, I get that it's tough. But geez, man, everybody just there couldn't be one character that just goes, "I'm really happy for you, Barrow."
Yeah, no kidding.
Tom, you can call me Tom. I don't know. That is Thomas. Thomas Barrow. That's his
yes.
name. Downton fan, real fan. Would you? We didn't even talk about Hugh Dancy. He was okay.
He was good. Yeah. I think he was good.
You see why he has the beard. Without the beard, he's like, I'm not saying he's not handsome, but he's just sort of like, oh, man. But with like the beard and the American accent, this guy's dangerous.
Yeah.
I can believe that maybe he's the alphabet man or whatever, you know, whatever's going on in Manhunter or Hannibal.
But without it,
and you put a little sweater on him, he's like, may I kiss you?
I thought he was great with Mary.
I can see why Mary didn't bite.
I thought he was great with Mary, and I kind of wanted that to happen, especially since her husband was absent.
Matthew Good's going to come home and knock some sense into this guy.
Yeah. I mean, it would have added some drama to it, but Mary was good, and that's fine. I liked it, so I'm going to say I recommend it, but I'm also, you know, keep in mind, I'm a Downton fan, so I'm biased.
I am as well, and I guess I would recommend it for the same reasons. Although I want to see a spinoff now that Mosley apparently is going to become a screenwriter.
Yeah.
There's your spinoff right there.
That would be interesting.
Right? So yeah. he's contracted to provide 4 films to British Lion every year, but and that immediately goes tits up or bobs up, whatever they say in England.
Bob's your uncle, yeah.
And he moves to Hollywood.
Sure.
And he gets a job writing comedies.
I could see that.
For Fatty Arbuckle.
Oh, no.
And that's where the drama comes in. It's a murder mystery with Mr. Mosley.
Oh, I could see that. And he's like Sherlock Holmes.
And we get Dewey Cox to play Fatty Arbuckle. He already played Laurel and Hardy.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Not both of them, just Hardy.
Just one, yeah. No, that could be great. I mean, not like, I guess he wouldn't be like Sherlock Holmes. He'd kind of be like a bumbling guy who's actually really smart. Like, so
he... No, he did. He played Watson.
Well, yeah. Holmes and Watson. No, but I mean Mosley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not. It'll be kind of funny, but not super funny, because it is about a lady dying of ruptured private parts.
Okay. All right.
A new era indeed. That was a chance to sing. No, too late. Well, that's it. We bid you good evening. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay at Downton Abbey.
That's right.
Any longer. We've got the film crew in.
Yes.
I also like the fact that, like, oh, wow, the only time that these people can sit down at the table and wear the fancy clothes is when they make a movie. So aren't you lucky that this movie that Lord Grantham didn't even want to be shot here.
I know.
Allows you to get just a little sniff of what it's like to be waited on.
It's kind of like, okay. And then him gave Tom like floppy hair. I think that was the thing that threw me the most. I was like, why is his hair like that?
check it out. We're going to check out something coming up.
Yes.
Of course, it is Memorial Day weekend coming up.
It is.
And you know what that means. It's time to release a movie that was shot like 5 years ago.
Yes.
And that is Top Gun.
Yes.
Maverick.
Yeah.
Top Gun. A new era. How does that? Wait, I was gonna go into the Top Gun song.
How does that go?
There you go. We got it. All right. Starring Tom Cruise, of course.
Yes.
John Hamm, Ed Harris, Val Kilmer, and really the only thing anybody cares about, Miles Teller. The reappearance of Miles Teller. Where has this guy been?
Yeah, where has he been?
Well, he's been doing a Paramount TV show. But if this movie had come out and there hadn't been a worldwide pandemic, who knows where he'd be?
So wait, Val Kilmer is going to be in it?
Yes.
Really?
And we'll be talking about how they make him talk. That's exciting. They put peanut butter in his mouth. And we'll be talking about that on our next show. But until then...
It's just a joke.
Oh,
it's just a... Like he's a dog? No, come on.
There, I think Tom Skerritt's going to be in it too.
Okay. All right.
Although, I don't know how we're going to manage that. But
it's a lot of people. John Hamm, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, where's he been?
Yeah, I know.
We'll have answers to all these questions on our next episode when we talk about Top Gun Maverick and, of course, the original Top Gun. But until then, we're signing off. I would ask you to join us on the social medias, on the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Instagrams. You can find us at Just Enough Trope. Also, go to your listening platform of choice, wherever you are, and just boop, hit that button, sign in. Get in there. Subscribe to the show. Yeah. That's how we know that you're following us. And why not leave us a review while you're doing that? Because we'd appreciate that. Give us a rating as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the powers that be, our own royal family,
yes,
the algorithm, lets us know that we're doing a good job. So give us 5 children who we do not even see on screen, except just one. Just to prove that they exist.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Look, everybody, Sibby is an awkward 11-year-old now.
Yeah, right.
I can't wait for the next new generation era.
Yeah,
maybe
I know.
We can hire some sexy... Oh, what are the Riverdale kids doing?
Oh, no.
Just
don't,
shift them right over.
Don't do that.
Downton Abbey, the next generation.
No.
Da 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 da. It's easy to go into Top Gun, not easy to get out of Top Gun.
Okay.
So yeah, join us next time for that, but give us 5 stars. That's it for our show. We are signing off, and until next week, this is the show that we're on.
Yes, and you are.
I'm Caliban.
And I'm Mikan Hanna.
And keep the geek fires burning. Yes, sir. Up in here. Is that good enough for your grandma? Up in here.